The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
The title of the message today is, How Can Celebration Make You More Effective in 2013? And for our text, I want to use from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 12. There we go. Verses 27 through 30. Remember, Nehemiah came and rebuilt the walls around the temple. All right, he was commissioned to do that. And that it's been done, and there's a dedication. So at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, the Levites were sought out from where they lived and were brought to Jerusalem to celebrate joyfully. Key word is joyfully. The dedication, celebrate the dedication with songs of thanksgiving and with the music of cymbals, harps, and lyres. Not lyres, but lyres, you know, it's a different thing, okay? So they brought together from the region around Jerusalem, from the village of the Nest of Phatites, I believe that is, from Beth Gilgad, and from the area of Gibla and Amasite, whatever those places are. For the singers had built villages for themselves around Jerusalem. That's interesting. I'm not going to preach on that, but it is an interesting phrase that they had built villages for themselves around Jerusalem. These are the singers around Jerusalem, all right? When the priests and Levites had purified themselves ceremonially, they purified the people, the gates, and the walls. In the scriptures, there are recorded over 75 occasions of celebration or instructions about celebrations. Now, that's quite a bit. It means that these folks were having a good time under the direction of the Holy Spirit. I know sometimes people think churches should be gloom and doom and, you know, your little head down, little halo spinning around the top and never break into loud noises. In fact, there was a church that was on the other side of town, which Katrina took out. I think they rebuilt it. And I went there once and I walked in the back door. They had signs posted all along the walls of the church, silence. I thought, man, this is not going to work for me. But I managed to keep sort of quiet while I was there and did my best not to go back there. So, but they had celebrations when people were delivered, when enemies were defeated, when the work of the Lord was completed, when sacrifices were made, when fasts were ended. So celebration turns out to be a focus on Christ and away from us. That's what fasting is, a focus on Christ and not a focus on us. We're looking to Him. So when we celebrate the Lord, what He has done. And that's why we had these testimonies in these songs of celebration today to remind us whose we are and the reason for celebration. Friends, if you don't have Christ, the only thing you're going to celebrate is going to hell. That's the only thing worthwhile celebrating in your entire eternity. But for those of us who believe, we celebrate our great salvation. We celebrate the things that the Lord has done. We're joyful because who we are. I think sometimes Christians get in the humdrums and they don't celebrate the Lord. I'm going to tell you a couple of things. It's hard to be depressed when you're celebrating to the Lord. Pat has a way of agitating me about this. Occasionally when I get in the mully grubs, and I've been known to get in the mully grubs, and she will say, well, just start praising the Lord. I said, I don't want to praise the Lord. She said, no, get in and praise the Lord. I said, I don't want to praise. She'll start singing praise, you know, some church song and try to push my hands up in the air, you know, and it really aggravates the fool out of me, but she's persistent, and I start doing it, and I start feeling better immediately, all right? So there's something about celebrating and worshiping the Lord that does something good for the inside of us, and it kind of kickstarts our joyfulness. The scripture says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So we gain strength in being joyful. And it's hard to feel down when you have your hands raised. I mean, you get your hands up in the air, you just start feeling better. Everybody raise your hands. Raise them, both of them. Those of you who have two of them. Now wiggle your fingers. Say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Now, doesn't that feel good?
Yeah.
Y'all look so cute. Put your hands down. That was good. I'm going to have to do that more often. That's the first time I've ever done that. So today, let's look at a little bit about celebration and how it can be better for us to celebrate in our lives. Your celebration becomes a sacrificial offering to the Lord. And let's look again at Nehemiah. It says, and on that day they offered great, key words here, great sacrifices, rejoicing because God had given them great joy. Where did joy come from? God gave them great joy. The women and children also rejoice. You may not have got this, but let me get it for you. Men, band of brothers, who's leading the rejoicing?
The men.
The men are. It says, and the women and children also rejoiced. So guys, I know sometimes you like to be macho and just kind of sit there and just, you know, let the ladies and let the kids, you know, rejoice and be noisy. You wouldn't say that at a football game when your team is winning. Men ought to be leading in the rejoicing, in the celebration, all right? So, and this is all like, the sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard far away. Now, that was a celebration that they had so loud they disturbed a neighborhood. Somebody called 911 in Jerusalem, said, what's all the noise going on? What's everybody so excited about? It was a precursor to the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit fell. Everybody got excited, started worshiping the Lord, and the whole city came to see what was going on. They made so much noise in Jerusalem, they had just built this immense wall around it, and the noise got outside the wall so that everyone knew it was a time of celebration. Beloved, we need to be celebrating all the time in our lives. We need to have an attitude of celebration. There is always something to celebrate. On your worst day, there's something to celebrate. As long as you're breathing, you can celebrate. And if you die, woohoo! That'll really give you a chance to celebrate, all right? Celebrating God in any and all circumstances. That should be the attitude of Christians. You know, we say so often, you know, the church is empty, people are not coming. I'll tell you what, if we were having fun, more people would come. You know, if we're having a joyful time, and when you leave here, you're joyful, and you tell your neighbors, your friends, the people at the bank, or wherever you may be, and you tell them about the fun you're having at church, and they're going to one of these dead, dry churches where there's nothing jumping but the cockroaches at night, they'll be glad to come here. They want to be where you are. People want to go where fun is. You know why people stopped going to the Saints games a long time ago? They were losing. They stunk. They were so bad. Nobody would go. I had season tickets. I couldn't even give them away. Now, everybody wants to go to the Saints game because they're doing so well. And it's the same way in church. People are the same way. People want to be where something good is happening. When your life is a wreck, when things are going bad, people want to be where there's a celebration. Now, we can't give a sacrifice like they gave. They brought sacrificial offerings, which were primarily animals to be offered at sacrifice. But we can give something else, all right? We can make a New Testament sacrifice, a sacrifice of praise, a sacrifice of ourselves, a sacrifice of our bodies. When we do something sacrificially, it's telling us that it cost us something to do it. When I first got in the kingdom of God, in the charismatic movement was just beginning back in the 70s, and most of the churches, mainline churches, didn't want us. And if you went in and raised your hand, they would show you where the door was. They figured you want to leave. You know, they didn't want you there. But when we'd gather by ourselves, without the mainline denomination around, we met in homes or in auditoriums or restaurants where we'd get the whole place, and we would start celebrating the Lord. People were jumping and enjoying it because we gave a sacrifice of praise. And one of the hardest things we all had to learn to do was to raise our hands. Some of you remember this. You know, a big hand raise was like this at the waist, you know. That's about all you could do. And then pretty soon we kind of get it out. And then when you really got free is when you learn to raise your hands to the Lord. And I said, well, I don't have to raise my hands to the Lord. Knock yourself out. It's a lot of fun. And if you ever get yourself free from that, you'll find out how much fun it really is. You say, well, I don't have to jump for the Lord. No, you don't have to. But it's kind of fun. You know, it does something good for you on the inside when you jump. You know, it's just good for you. You know, I don't have to shout. You don't have to. Something good about shouting. You know, if it does you good on the inside to shout and make a little noise. There's, I'm telling you, if you do it sacrificially where you're overstepping your comfort zone, there's something good about it. And it does something good for you. And it certainly does something for our Father who sees you rejoicing. You know, you just as well get used to it. Heaven's a noisy place. People are singing all the time. They're jumping. They're rejoicing. I don't even know all that they're doing. They got harps. And I tell you what, I believe they play the harp a lot like Evans plays the guitar. I think they got it wound up. I don't think it's just very slow, melodic, you know, as the clouds go by. You know. I think it's jumping and shouting. They have some heavy metal up there. Who knows? I don't know what they got up there. But the sacrificial offering we give is rejoicing because God gives us great joy. It said God had given them great joy. Not joy, great joy. How great is your joy? Do you have a great joy? You know, life will beat the tar out of you if you haven't figured it out by now. And if you're going to live beat up, that's a heck of a way to live. Start living beyond that. Start living joyfully. Say, well, I don't have nothing to be joyful about. Find something. Go do something for somebody. Go help a widow. Go build something. You know, go give somebody a helping hand. Give the guy up there on the interstate looking for 10 bucks. Give him 10 bucks. Make you feel good. Go. This is a cool one. Somebody just told me they did this. They went to Starbucks and they went to pay, and the guy at the window said, you know, when they made the order and they went to pay, they said, the guy in front of you paid for yours. And the guy in the window said, you want to pass it on? And he said, yeah, I do. Pay for this. He said, I'm going to pay for the guy behind me. And they just passed it on. See, just doing something small will give you a great sense of joy. In their celebration, the family was part of it. Mom and dad and the kids were all part of it. And it needs to be a celebration. In just a minute, we're going to receive our special offering. And I want you to come up by families, husband and wife, you know, children. If you don't have a husband and wife here, some single person, grab arms with somebody else and come up in groups. I don't want you coming by yourself. So come up together to do it. So it's a family is included. It's the family of God as a part of it. It's a time to shout out loud. It's a time to be noisy. You can get ready, Brother Roe, and get the band ready, because while I'm finishing up on this one little thing, Roe and the band are going to bring us a... Now, I never heard this song before, because Roe wrote it. He did a little part of it last week, and I thought it was so great. I thought it'd be time for us to do this as we receive our offering. Now, I gave you a lot of instructions. Yeah, hey, George, you get that. I gave you a lot of instructions last week about giving and how to give. So I'm not going to repeat myself, but George is bringing the basket up here and he's going to put it in front of the podium. And when the band gets all set and gets started, I want you to stand. I want you to come down joyfully. Joy. If I see anybody who's not smiling and laughing, I'm going to make you smile and laugh, all right? So just be prepared. If I have to tickle you or whatever I have to do. So let's all stand, all right? You ready? We're not going to pray before we give. We're going to pray after we give, all right? Come on down. There's the basket. Your celebration becomes a sacrifice of praise to the Lord. It's a sacrifice of praise to the Lord. And, oh, I turned my little thing off here. There we go. This is from the book of Esther. And you remember the story of Esther and Mordecai. And the enemies of the Jews wanted to kill them. They wanted to start off with Mordecai. God intervened and used Esther. And she was part of the deliverance for the people. And after they had won a great victory and the enemies of the Jews had been defeated in battle, this is where this came up. And Mordecai recorded these events, and he sent letters to all the Jews throughout the province of King Xerxes, near and far, to have them celebrate annually the 14th and 15th day of the month of Adar as a time when the Jews got relief from their enemies. And as the month when the sorrow was turned into joy. That's a key phrase right there. The month when their sorrow was turned into joy and their mourning into a day of celebration. He wrote them to observe the days as days of feasting and joy and giving presents of food to one another and gifts to the poor. So the Jews agreed to continue the celebration they had begun doing what Mordecai had written to them. A sacrifice of praise recognizes that the time of sorrow has passed. You know, some of you are going through some really hard times, and you know, you're waiting for the good times to come to begin to get out of your mourning. I think, you know, as we think about this, the praise breaks the spirit of mourning. And in your own mind, in your own heart, say, it's over. The physical realm may not say your time of sorrow is over, but the breaking of that sorrow with joy, the great joy of the Lord, will help you. It's time to move on. It's time to move on. You know, even as Gary said, he gave us that great illustration this morning. You know, you need to start stepping out. And stepping out in faith, believing that the time of mourning is over. Jesus delivered you just as surely as he delivered the Jews out of their bondage. You have been delivered. The enemy has had you in his sights for a long time. And he would love to devour you. Jesus told that to Peter. He said, Satan desires to have you, to sift you like wheat. But God said, I have prayed for you. That's what Jesus said. I have prayed for you. The prayers of God never cease and never desist. They never quit. And the prayers that Jesus prayed for you continue on. I encourage you to go read in John chapter 17 where it talks about the prayer of Jesus and apply it to your own individual lives and let that joy begin to build up inside of you. God has sent us on a mission to pray, to fast, and to give. A threefold cord is not easily broken. And we have done all of these things. We have prayed, we have fasted, and we have given. And it's a testimony to who we are. It's a testimony to our commitment to God. And it's also an investment in the kingdom that produces fruit. Remember the story when Jesus came out of the temple one day. And there was a fig tree, and the fig tree didn't have any fruit on it, and he cursed the fig tree. See, that tree was dead. It had no life, and it needed to die. You are a living part of the body of Christ, and you do produce fruit. And what we did proves the fruit of your lives. It is sin. You know, some of you believed me this morning and acted so goofy. You know, you came up here, big old smile on your face, dancing, jumping. I mean, that's an evidence of the life of Christ that's in you. And you were willing to do that. It's like David of old. Remember David danced before the Lord and his wife ridiculed him, but she was barren from that day on because she made fun of the man of God? You know, and It's okay to be foolish for the Lord. To do foolish things, to act foolishly, it's okay. It's okay to shout in the middle of a crowd. It's okay to say amen in church. One of the things that I was so fortunate about when Pat and I first got in the kingdom, we went up to a little church up in Bogalusa, and I met a man who I'd never met before. He sat in the back row of the church, and it was a church that probably sat maybe 150, 200 people. It wasn't very big. And all during the sermon, I kept hearing this guy say, "Amen, preacher! Amen, preacher!" Had a big voice like Jim Corbin. "Amen, preacher!" And you know what? I thought that's what you're supposed to do in church. So I started saying, "Amen, preacher! Amen!" And I've been doing it ever since. I'm a noisy guy in church. I amen myself sometimes. I get so excited about it. But it's just being, reaching out and letting that praise of who God is in your life be out there. You know, you want me to preach better? Just shout some amens.
Amen.
You know, just amen. You go get him, preacher. You know, come on, preacher. Now you're talking, man. Now you're talking. I tell you, I get excited. I preach a lot better. But when I'm the only one giving amens, you know, I get kind of bored with myself, you know. I'll really absolutely preach better, I promise you. Amen, amen. All right, I got you going now. God has seen us. God has blessed us. And God will continue to bless you. Miss Liz, you praising the Lord or what?
Yahoo!
Amen, that'll do too. Most importantly about you, God has seen what Christ has done in you. God sees that and it gives him great pleasure. The works that Jesus did or your works? He said, "I am in you and you are in me and I am in the Father and the Father is me." It's a great big love feast and we participate in that. That's the kingdom living. That's the gift that God gave you. When everything else in your life is failing, if your health is failing, your finances are failing, if the government's failing, if all these things are failing, the one thing that has not failed is the relationship that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's still inside of you working and praising and rejoicing because of who you are.
Amen.
And because you're in him and he's in you. And he will never leave you. What shall separate you from the love of God? Go read Romans chapter 8. Nothing. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. His sacrifice is your sacrifice. Paul said, "I am crucified with him." We are part of that. We participate in that. It's part of who we are. We identify with the cross. I just heard someone saying the other day, it's not real new, but it's kind of a new movement of churches taking the crosses out of the church because they don't want to offend people. Man, the cross has got to be an offense to the unbeliever. But it's also something that draws people. You know, if you show me a church without a cross, and I tell you, show you a church I don't want to go to. I want to see the cross. I want it to be in a prominent place. I want it to be outside in our building. And Paul, that's his parking place. Don't park in Paul's parking place. That big old truck he's got, he'll tow you out the way. That's his place. He claimed it. It's his. In front of the cross. That's because the cross is in his heart. As a new believer, his life has been changed. And he sees it, and it's happening inside of him. Christ's praise is your praise. As the Father is pleased with his Son, so he is pleased with you. God never wakes up one day and says, "I wish I wouldn't have saved that one." Every day is a glorious day when he sees you, because what he sees is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's who we are in Christ. Let's pray. Father, we celebrate in you. You are able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond anything we could ever think or ever ask. How big is that, Lord? How big is that? Father, thank you for this great time we've had in this place today. Father, that it's been good to be in fellowship with you and with each other, to remember how great you are. Father, let it stay with us throughout the day and the week and the rest of our lives. There will be people of the celebration, for we have so much to celebrate. Thank you for this food that's been provided. Thank you for the fast we've had. And Lord, as we partake of this food that we've been denying ourselves of, let it bring nourishment to our bodies. No tummy aches. Nobody get upset with it. It'll be good for us as we eat it. Lord, let the things we've prayed about come to pass according to your divine will. Let the gifts that we've given be blessed and magnified by your hand. Let the fast that we've participated in be a remembrance that we are still in this body away from you. And we look forward to the day when we shall shed these earthly tents to be clothed with the new body you've prepared for us. We thank you, Father. Your presence here has been evident to all. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. You're dismissed. If you have a need for prayer, if you just like a blessing, whatever you might need, I'll be up here and minister to you for just a moment, okay?